You're tuned to The Record from KUOW. I'm Steve Scherr.
And I'm David Hyde. Ian Haney-Lopez says American politics has been dominated by the explicit language of racism for hundreds of years. Today, Lopez says that overt language has faded away, but it's been replaced by coded racial appeals. Lopez calls those coded appeals dog whistle politics, and he says it's led the American middle class to vote against its own self-interest. Ian Haney-Lopez is a law professor at the University of California at Berkeley. His new book is called Dog Whistle Politics.
Dog whistle politics really emerged in the early to mid 1960s as we see the success of the civil rights movement doing two things. On the one hand, it is making it impossible for politicians to succeed in the public eye with the old style express sort of calls for racial solidarity, the old fashioned calls for white supremacy that were actually rampant, for example, across the South in politics. And at the same time, the civil rights movement is increasing racial anxiety among a white population and making the white population, not just in the South, but across the nation, more receptive to racial appeals. And so you get a shift to you get a shift in a way that these old sort of racial slurs drop out of the political conversation. But on the other hand, a coded discourse begins to emerge that on the one hand is silent about race and on the other is clearly triggering racial anxiety. And I think terms like states' rights or forced busing. And everybody understood that states' rights at the time wasn't really about state-federal relations. It was about the right of southern states to resist integration.
And you bring this up in the book. Ronald Reagan talks about states' rights in 1980. And there's another example, Welfare Queen. How are these examples of dog whistle politics?
They signify the way in which public racism has evolved. On the one level, it seems not to be about race at all. It can be about states' rights, state-federal relations, or welfare queen, just an indictment of welfare and the social safety system. On the other hand, these terms are triggering strong racial reactions. So states' rights, again, is really about the right of southern states to resist racial integration. And welfare queen, the way Ronald Reagan used it, triggered a strong racial reaction that the people on welfare weren't whites, who in fact are a majority of those on welfare, but instead were lazy minorities who were ripping off the system.
Ian Henry Lopez is the author of Dog Whistle Politics, How Coded Racial Appeals Have Reinvented Racism and Wrecked the Middle Class. And you're saying that's part of the point for listeners as well, aren't you? That there's this kind of ambiguity about it, and that's what makes it so powerful.
Absolutely. In fact, one of the things that's really important for listeners to understand is this is not an appeal to racial solidarity that is being heard as such by the people who are moved by it. It's not as if a broad swath of the American political spectrum are saying to themselves, I'm going to vote for the candidate who tells me he has my racial interests at heart. Not at all. The American public as a whole is firmly committed to racial egalitarianism, to driving racism out of our public life. People don't consciously hear the way in which race is being used to appeal to them. But on the other hand, when you have politicians who are constantly warning about the threats from welfare, the threats from gangbangers, the threats from illegal aliens, the way Sharia is penetrating the homeland, these are racial appeals, though many of the people who react strongly and favorably to them don't understand them as racial and indeed would strongly deny that there's any sort of racial content to their reaction.
A number of the examples that you've given in the past, Ian Haney-Lopez, are from several years ago, decades ago, but you think this is alive and well today. What are some examples from the last couple of years?
I think it's stronger today, perhaps, at least as strong today than it has been in decades. So I would think all the discussion around Muslims, I think, for example, is operating as a dog whistle. All the discussion around undocumented immigrants framed as illegal aliens. I would also say if you look at Mitt Romney and where he put his advertising dollars, in the critical summer of 2012, he put half of his advertising dollars into a campaign commercial that tried to tie President Obama to welfare. Now, the underlying facts were spurious, but they didn't really matter because the point was to try and link a black president to the issue of welfare. I think one of the most powerful dog whistles today is one that the Republicans are using constantly, but which most people don't see as a racial dog whistle, and I would say it's the phrase Obamacare. Obamacare on one level, yes, I got it. It's seemingly neutral. It's like Romney Care. It's like Hillary Care. On that level, people can deny that there's any racial import. But on another level, constantly using that term to refer to the Affordable Care Act is a way of linking health care to a black president who has himself been demonized as a foreigner, as a liar, as a Muslim. It's a strong racial code implicitly saying to people, here comes a powerful black president to try and take over your health care, to take over your life decisions, to increase taxes, and indeed to wreck the economy.
I can imagine some moderate Republicans and conservatives actually nodding their head and saying, he's perfectly right. This stuff is coded. But they're wondering, you know, is it possible for me to criticize the food stamp program, for example, without blowing the dog whistle?
I think that there are absolutely moderate Republicans who are nodding their heads and understand that dog whistle politics is ruining their party. Indeed, the term Southern strategy, which is another way of referring to this sort of politics, was coined by a moderate Republican who is dismayed to see his party shifting in this direction. Is it possible for Republicans to articulate conservative policies without triggering racial reaction? I think you have to, at this point, 50 years into the rhetoric, it's actually pretty difficult, but the fault lies with the way in which so much conservative rhetoric has been bound up with race. Is it possible to have principled objections to food stamps, to social policy, to the way in which we're spending our educational dollars, and not at all seek to trigger racial reactions? Absolutely, it's possible to have those concerns. Is it possible to express them in ways that don't trigger racial anxiety, that don't trigger racial reaction? That's going to be pretty tricky 50 years into the process. Conservatives have done a remarkably good job of linking together conservative criticisms of the New Deal state with racial resentment.
I want to ask you to take the conversation away from politics, or at least explicit politics, for a minute and talk about Richard Sherman, cornerback for the Seattle Seahawks, who's the Seattle team that's now headed for the Super Bowl. And I don't know if you've been paying attention to this story in the news, but he basically believes that sportscasters calling him a thug after some of the talking he did after the game with the 49ers is an example of dog whistle cultural politics, I guess. What are your thoughts?
I think that there's an important distinction to be made. What the Richard Sherman episode shows is that these stereotypes are very powerful. They're out there in our society. They're very easily triggered. And I completely agree that when people saw his post-game interview, there was a strong racial reaction to it. And that strong racial reaction was often expressed through the use of the word thug, and that word was operating as a supposedly polite reference to cover an ugly racial epithet, which I think came to mind for a lot of people, and which some people themselves used in social media. But I would not say it's operating as a dog whistle in this important sense. The point of a dog whistle is to manipulate people, to try and get people to vote for politicians who are ultimately have a very different agenda, an agenda that serves the very wealthy in society. There's an element of strategy, of strategic, conscious, purposeful manipulation in dog whistling. Whereas these sorts of cultural eruptions that show the power of stereotypes in our society, they're not animated by strategy. They simply reflect the continued poison of racism in our society.
So, Ian Haney-Lopez, racism is a serious problem, but you're also making another major point in this book that dog whistle politics, according to you, wrecked the middle class. What are you getting at there?
This is actually the central point of the book. It's not just that race suffuses our politics. It's that for the last 50 years, there has been a concerted effort on the part of conservatives to wrap attacks on liberal government in racial appeals. Conservatives have been using racial innuendo to scare white voters about policies that are solidly on the side of the middle class, and to get them instead to support policies that really help the richest 1%. And we can think about tax cuts for the top 1%. We can think about cuts to investment in infrastructure, cuts to the investment in education, undermining unions, undermining pensions, undermining the social safety net, cutting back on employment benefits. All of these things are destructive to the broad middle class. And yet you have a large swath of voters who are willing to support politicians who go after all these helpful policies, who promulgate policies that help the richest 1%, all because they think what they're defending against is government giveaways to threatening minorities.
Ian Haley-Lopez, let's take that one step further. Why should middle-class voters be so concerned about dog whistle politics?
I think middle-class voters are fundamentally concerned about what's happened to our country. They're fundamentally concerned about the way in which government and the market now seem like a set of rules rigged for the very rich and in a way that it makes it very hard for them to get ahead and for them to see a bright future for their children. And for everybody that's concerned in that way, they have to be concerned about how race is being used to distort our politics, to distort our democracy. The fundamental key to understanding what has happened to our country in the 50 years since the Civil Rights Movement is to look at the way that conservatives have used race to make many whites afraid of government. We used to understand that the biggest threat in our lives was from concentrated wealth, was from the power the corporations and the very richest individuals had in the way they could take control of government or manipulate the market. In the last 50 years, many whites have come to believe that the biggest threat in their lives are poor minorities. That's crazy. But we need people to start thinking about how race is working and how it shifted our politics so that we can eventually bring government back onto the side of the middle class.
Ian Haney-Lopez is a senior fellow at the think tank Demos and a law professor at the University of California, Berkeley. His new book is Dog Whistle Politics, How Coded Racial Appeals Have Reinvented Racism and Wrecked the Middle Class. You're listening to The Record on KUOW.